The following program may include some discussion not deemed appropriate for younger children. Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, we recognize Sexual Assault Awareness Month by talking to two guests from the Bridge to Hope in Menominee. It's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. The Bridge to Hope is a nonprofit organization committed to ending domestic abuse, sexual assault, and human trafficking. Their purpose is to empower those who have been affected by violence, provide options, and offer support so that individuals can start a life that is free from abuse. They're available through text or call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're never alone, and they say, we're here for you when you're ready. The mission of the Bridge to Hope in Menominee is to provide support and healing to survivors and families while engaging with the community to recognize and prevent abuse. Their vision is to provide a bridge to hope that creates a safe, more just, and compassionate society. Their values are empowerment, confidentiality, compassion, resiliency, and integrity. And one of the roles I play outside of Wibwogo Radio is I am a volunteer and co-host of the Fierce Freedom Podcast with Kat Morgan, the executive director. Fierce Freedom, an anti-human trafficking education organization in the Chippewa Valley. And on a recent podcast, in fact, as this show airs on a Sunday evening on WWIB and WOGO, the most recently released Fierce Freedom Podcast is Kat Morgan and I talking with two guests from Bridge to Hope. Angie McAwam, the Director of Sexual Assault and Victim Services, and also Kat Brogan, Sexual Assault Advocate and a UW Stout Advocate for Bridge to Hope. And we began our conversation by asking if Angie would give us kind of an overview of the organization.
The Bridge has been around. We just celebrated, I think, our 44th anniversary, maybe 45th. All time runs together at this point for me, but we celebrated an anniversary a couple years ago. It was founded in like this one room little kind of space in Menominee in the 80s we had some amazing founding mothers who literally were working with folks in their homes. And then we had a shelter over on South Broadway for many, many years that was a 3-bedroom shelter up in a house that was just like, we made do, right? We didn't have offices. We didn't have like anything really, but we made it work. Mm-hmm. And in 2017, we were able to move into this new building behind Mayo in Menominee. And it is amazing. We have a 2-wing shelter now that we can house 8 different families. We have, this large pantry. We have all of our rooms are pet friendly. We've just really come a long way over the years, not only with our space, but with the way we are able to provide advocacy for folks in such different and new and exciting ways. Kat, I don't know if you have anything that you want to share too.
I think you've pretty well covered it. And again, from the perspective of somebody who has lived here my whole life and continues to live and work here, it's really neat to reflect on that history and imagine what it could look like in another 40, 45 years, right? Hmm. The impact that we hopefully will have with the work that we're doing right now.
Yeah, that's really. And I do want to point out too, like a lot of misconceptions about the Bridge or any domestic violence shelter really is like when we first ask people in the community, like, what do you know about the Bridge to Hope, right? And a lot of people still think of it as like maybe a battered women's shelter or, you know, a women's shelter. And I do want to challenge folks to understand that we are not a battered women's shelter. And it kind of gives me the ick when people say that, right? Like abuse takes on a lot of different forms. And physical abuse is really one of those last kind of things that may happen or may never happen in a relationship. So we really want to focus on like the whole encompassing person and to recognize like anybody can be a victim of abuse. It doesn't matter gender, socioeconomic status, race, anything like that. So we do accept all folks into our shelter. I want to be very clear about that because I don't think that's talked about enough.
Such a good distinction because it's really true. Some things that I have learned while doing this job is just, again, the shades of abuse and emotional abuse and control. And you know, like that physical abuse might, it might culminate in that, but it also might not. You might even not need to use physical abuse. You know, that abuser might have complete control over somebody not even lifting an actual physical finger. And so I really appreciate you sort of destigmatizing that, you know, just because there isn't that presence of physical abuse, you still want to help people that are being affected by different kinds of violence.
Yeah, because I find like people do tend to minimize things when they don't see like that physical piece.
Yep.
Even they minimize their own stories and they're like, well, mine wasn't as bad as that person's because blah, 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 blah. Right. Well, no, that doesn't make it any worse or better. We're all have experienced things in like very heavy ways. And like, we never want to minimize our own stories either by, you know, thinking that it wasn't as bad because of that physical abuse or what have you.
I appreciate it. And I know some I can remember a survivor sharing with us, she said that the physical abuse, and this was her perspective, she said it was actually easier to deal with than the other kinds of abuse, which is so horrible because there's layers. But I love, too, that, you know, whenever you drive through Menominee, you know, there often I've seen like a billboard that talks about Bridge to Hope and your impact. So I'd love to talk more about that. And yeah, what you're seeing and kind of relating it back to sexual assault. You know, we've really been talking about this. We did at our Voice of Freedom event. I know someone from Bridge to Hope was there. And we were talking about the fact that every, you know, 68 seconds, someone is sexually assaulted in the U.S. How prevalent are crimes like sexual assault, do you feel, because of the work you're doing in this area, you know, in Dunn County and the Chippewa Valley?
Mm-hmm. Well, I say like even in communities like the Chippewa Valley, where the overall crime rates tend to be lower, sexual violence is still happening. And the issue is it often stays hidden. Like one of the things I wanted to call out is, I don't know if the audience is really familiar, but sexual assault nurse examinations, for instance, when folks are going in to get their DNA forensic exams. Normally in a year, the bridge gets between 8 and 10 calls for an entire year to provide advocacy at the hospital. This year, as of last week, we've already received 7 calls. So like that just shows there's been either, I don't necessarily want to say like an uptick in sexual assault crimes, but could be people knowing their resources more, understanding their options and things like that. But it is not just a big city issue, right? Like it's happening in rural areas, college communities, small towns. Like sexual violence is more common than most people think. Like statewide, we have about 1 in 3 women and 1 in 5 men that experience sexual violence in their lifetime. And like among our youth, we're seeing 1 in 8 high school students that are being reported being forced into unwanted sexual activity. And I want to highlight, these are all like self-reported, right? And so oftentimes folks don't even understand that they've gone through a sexual assault. So that also makes it a little bit of a barrier too, to know what the actual statistics are, because most folks are not reporting to law enforcement or, you know, other entities. So the numbers are very skewed in a lot of ways. And we often think that smaller or rural communities are immune to this, but what actually happens is it becomes less visible, not less common. So there could be barriers like stigma and lack of anonymity, which can make it even harder for survivors to come forward.
One of my roles, I guess, with Fierce Freedom as a volunteer and a part of this podcast with Kat is that certainly Fierce Freedom is an anti-human trafficking education organization and caring about those victims. And yet, overwhelmingly, as you said maybe earlier, it's maybe not exclusively women who you work with. There was a well-documented case in a reality show recently where kind of the verbal abuser, if not more, was a woman. But by and large, like, is guys, is the perpetrators. And so to what degree, if at all, do you work with them or try to deal with? Because we've got victims, but you know, we've got perpetrators, and it's going to continue to be a problem unless we deal with the perpetrators.
Mm-hmm. So that is a little bit tricky, right? So like at our space, I can't speak for every domestic violence sexual assault agency, but we have very specific grants that prohibit us from working with perpetrators. However, that we recognize anybody can be a victim of sexual assault, human trafficking, domestic violence, whatever. So one of the things that we do is like a lot of prevention work. So I go into like, for instance, the Dunn County Jail, right? And I do a 4-week trauma class. So am I working with perpetrators and victims? Most likely, yes. And we're talking about the impact of trauma, what all of the things related, but we're also talking about abusive behaviors, whether we're being the abusive person or like are we having those things happen to us, and then really calling those out. And that same with sexual assault, like we are really diving deep into what those things mean, like consent, and we go through like a true and false quiz to see like where people are at with like their knowledge already, and then we really take a really hard look at that, like are we also perpetrating those crimes or those things. So while we're not directly working with perpetrators, we are doing prevention work with perpetrators, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I guess I'll speak to that as just a female, female in this work. And I think that something that we had drawn attention to for Voice of Freedom is we need good men that are stepping up to the plate, Mark, like you, that care about this. And, we just my perspective is that as a woman, I do have a vastly different effect on like speaking to men and trying to help them understand. Like, of course, I think there's some really well-meaning men that, really do care and want to help. But a lot of the times hearing it from another man who has had that experience, I think I would love to see that. I would love to see just more men being, inspired and for this to really, for them to see the need, like the gap here,
Yeah, I guess just as so many things are connected, and I think we want to see women empowered in so many ways. And I think what you need is advocates. We need guys who are advocates. And so I think that's what
You're
we're talking
right.
about.
Yeah,
And that's,
absolutely.
I would say there is a real lack of men in advocacy, specifically domestic violence and sexual assault advocacy. It's overwhelmingly, a female-driven space. That's a fact. And I think sometimes we see that in even social work in general is a very high level of female-led space. And so it's like, how do we get men involved in this too? And I think Kat and I talk about that all the time, especially when we do see a lot of male victims too, that there's an extra layer of, stigma involved in that too, when folks are coming forward or not seeing that representation in that space, right? And that's why I talk a lot about like us not being a battered women's shelter and whatnot, because otherwise folks of all genders, right, think that this is not a space for them or that they can talk about their victimization or any of those things. So
I
yeah, I
think
think
it
it's really
pertains even,
essential.
you think back to like the civil rights struggle as well. I mean, and even as it plays into our day, I mean, there can kind of be an expectation, like, let's say you're a minority. And so, of course, you're going to speak for your side. But I think when others of the majority, that's what's necessary, is it helps build a bridge to hope. Yes, where
I
you're
like it.
participating and saying, this has been wrong, this is an injustice. And again, from the male side, I think there is, that you have to call out that uncomfortability, but individually and together, I think we can combat that and hopefully see more and more guys serve as advocates. So
That's
I
what I'm
agree.
hoping.
It takes all of us, right? It takes all of us to make change happen. And I don't know. I've always said I'm a really big believer in community. I think community matters. And that for me and for many of us here, and I assume with y'all over at Fierce Freedom as well, that's a huge focus of a lot of our outreach is connecting community and looking at the individual as a part of this collective whole.
Yeah, we need that support. I mean, we're reliant on it. And I think yeah, and different people have different needs. And so me sharing something might reach somebody, Mark sharing, each of us have our own story and abilities and gifts. So I think it's cool when we feel that empowerment to step into helping. Because it's so needed. We need many different kinds of responses in our community, like a web.
Angie McAwam, Director of Sexual Assault and Victim Services, and Kat Brogan, Sexual Assault Advocate and UW Stout Advocate, both working with Bridge to Hope in Menominee, a nonprofit organization committed to ending domestic abuse, sexual assault, and human trafficking. The conversation you heard, you can hear more of at the Fierce Freedom Podcast. Learn more at fiercefreedom.org. That's fiercefreedom.org. Mark Halverson is my name, and co-hosting that podcast with Cap Morgan. That's their most recent podcast. Also, Bridge to Hope celebrating a ribbon cutting this Thursday at 3 at 2110 4th Avenue Northeast in Menominee. They invite community members to join in for that, marking a meaningful investment in both sustainability and survivor support this Thursday. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for joining us for Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. Good night.